This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Pastor Rick continues in a series called 40 Days of Love. In these lessons, he shows us how to achieve the goals of obedience to Christ and living a life of love on a day-to-day basis. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part three of a message called Loving Like Jesus Loves Me.
The only scars you're going to see in heaven will be the scars on Jesus, where he was nailed to the cross. Because for eternity, people are going to be able to see, this is how much I love you. You are not just worthy. You're not just acceptable. You are valuable. Now Jesus says, I want you to treat that kind of value to everybody else that I love too. Because you know what? I don't just love you that way. I love everybody else that way. Even the people you can't stand. I love them this much. So I expect you, if you're my child, to love these people the same way I love them, because I died for them, not just you. And you better treat them the same way that I treat them. Value others the way Jesus values me. How do you do that? 1 Peter 2:17. Let's read it aloud. Treat most people you meet with dignity. No, I'm sorry, I misread that. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. That means everybody. You know, I looked up that word everyone in the Greek, and you know what it means? It means everyone. That means there's nobody you are able or allowed to not treat with dignity. You must treat everyone you meet, even the people you agree with and disagree with, and people you like and don't like, everyone with dignity. How do you do that? Well, there's a couple ways. One of them, as I've said, is the looking at them and listening to them. Looking and loving is a way of treating people with dignity. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jesus is walking down the street and a young entrepreneur comes up to him and he asks him a question. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible on the screen. It says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He looked and he loved. You can't love without looking. And that's why when people come, you know, who serve you, and like I said, a waitress or anybody that, and you don't pay any attention to them, you're not being very loving. You're not being very, when somebody serves you and you don't even look at them, you look and you listen. Love looks and love listens. What am I talking about? I'm talking about just being polite. You don't have a right to be impolite to anyone. I had to go turn some laundry in at the cleaners. And Matthew, my son, was sitting in the back seat, and we pulled in, and there was only one open space for the parking in front of this laundry. And every other seat, every other parking spot was taken. And there were two young boys, maybe an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, standing there in that parking spot with like their karate outfits on, you know, the taekwondo, you know, And they're standing there, and they had their backs to me, so they weren't aware that somebody wanted in that parking spot. And so I pulled up, and I thought, I'm not in any hurry, you know, I'll just wait. These kids will turn around, and they'll see me, and they'll move out of the way. And Matthew goes, Dad, why don't you honk? And I said, because it's Karam. You know, if you're only 10 feet away and you hear a honk behind you, kind of get your adrenaline growing. And I was like, you know, they'll eventually turn around and see me, and they'll move out of the way. So I'm just, it was no big deal. It was just nothing. And so I'm just waiting there, and about 5 minutes later, no, it wasn't that long. But these two boys are talking, and I just kind of, I was just being nice. And all of a sudden, they turn around, and they see a car wants to get in there, and they go, oh, and they, you know, they move out of the way, this little 8-year-old and 10-year-old. So I pulled in. I got out and I saw the guys and I says, so you guys like karate? And they go, yeah, we like it. I said, So like, what belt are you? And I just asked him a couple real simple questions. It was nothing to it. No, there's no skin off my nose. I'm just being nice. I walk into the laundry and I leave my laundry there. And when I come back out, I start to get in my car and I hear a voice behind me said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" And I turn around and there's a man standing there. He said, "I noticed how you dealt with my boys." He said, "Aren't you a pastor?" "You look like a pastor." I said, "No, I just had the flu. I'll get over it." And he goes, "Yeah, I saw you on TV." And he said, I saw how you treated my boys. I'd like to go to a church like that." He's coming to church. Okay? He's coming to church. Now, all it was just polite. It was nothing. Really, it was nothing. And yet we live in a world that is rude and impolite and unaccepting and treats people like dirt. So let's take out the flap and let's look at the second homework assignment. Practicing love. This week I will affirm the value of. And I want you to write in somebody's name there who has low self-esteem. Somebody that you can affirm the value of. You can affirm their value when everybody else treats them like dirt, treats them like an outcast, treats them like they don't matter. You treat them like they do matter because they do. They matter to God. And I want you to write down a specific, and don't write somebody in your family because you can always do that. I'm talking about somebody outside of your family. I will show acceptance to and I will affirm the value of. All right, third way to love. I must forgive others like Jesus forgives me. Now we're talking about a step up in being a genuine lover. I must forgive others like Jesus forgives me. Some people think that God carries grudges. They think that God's always mad at them. They think that no matter what they do, whenever they have a problem, they think, "God's getting even with me." It's like, you know, something fell apart this week, so God remembers what I did 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years or 30 years ago, and now God's getting even with me. I know he's doing that. Is that really the way God acts? No. I did hear this week about a guy who everything went wrong in his life, and on one day, his wife walked out on him. His kids got suspended from school for drugs. He got fired and smashed his car. And he gets out of his car and he looks up into heaven and he goes, "Why me, God? Why me? Why me? Why me?" And he hears this voice from heaven that says, "Because some people just tick me off." Is that the way God really responds to us? No. No, God does not carry grudges. All the payment for all the stuff you've done wrong, Jesus Christ took on the cross. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus paid for it. So God says, "I want you to learn to forgive others." Pastor Tom is going to come and talk about this one.
And look at this. Look at this next verse on the outline. What's God really like? We grow up, we get this idea that he's up in heaven waiting to zap me for something I do wrong. But here's what he's really like. Isaiah 43:25. "I am the God who forgives your sins, not the God who is waiting to get you. I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you." That's who God is. God is a God who wants to forgive, who has done everything he can to forgive our sins in Christ. And here's the amazing thing about this. He's been planning to do this for a long time. Look at this next verse up on the screen. In fact, let's read this verse from Ephesians together. "Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." even before you were born, even before the world was made, God was already planning in Christ to forgive your sins. That's amazing. I mean, just think about that for a minute. All the guilt that's in your life, God made a plan for that guilt to give you forgiveness even before you were born. He knows every wrong thing I'm going to do, every wrong thing you're going to do. None of it's a surprise to Him. None of it. It's not like, well, I'm really disappointed in you today. I didn't see that one coming. Look at what you did today. Never. God knows everything we're going to do, and He's already planned to forgive us in Jesus Christ. So that's why God can say this. It's the next verse in your outline. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You might circle that word no. Not a little bit of condemnation or less condemnation. There is absolutely no condemnation because of what Jesus Christ did for us. There's no condemnation, but that's not at no cost, by the way. The next verse reminds us in Matthew that Jesus said, "This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It came at the cost of Jesus' blood. He gave His life so that you and I can be forgiven. And because of that, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means unconditional, complete, consistent, eternal, by grace, forgiveness in all of our lives. So let's just all do this. Just take a deep breath in with me and let it out. Just go, because what a relief. What a relief that I don't have to pay for my own sins, make up for my own sins, suffer for my sins somehow in eternity. It's paid for by Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. And once I recognize that He's forgiven me, then I'm strengthened to forgive other people in my life. In fact, these next verses talk about how you and I can do that. The Bible says this in Colossians 3:13. You must make allowance for each other's faults. Now, I hate it that the Bible says that. Don't you in some way? I mean, I want other people to make allowance for my faults. Do you like it when you have to make allowance for other people's faults? It's tough to do. But the Bible says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Or Jesus said this in Luke 6, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn. And let me just stop there for a minute. If you feel like Christians are sent into the world to condemn the world, you got it all wrong. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world. In fact, He said it. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. And He sent us into the world for the very same thing. If you're trying to condemn the world around you or think that's what we're here to do, you're going to be a miserable person. We didn't come to condemn. And so when I do that, I'm only going to be miserable. Do not condemn, Jesus said, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Or at the end of a story that Jesus told once about mercy, He said this, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Because God has given me so much mercy and forgiveness, that gives me the ability to give it to others. When I take a good look at myself, a good look, I see the ugliness. I see the selfishness. I see the sin. But when I take a good look at God, a good look, I see the forgiveness that only He can give. And when I get that forgiveness in my life, then I'm able to give it to other people in their lives. I am able to forgive others because I know that Jesus has forgiven me. So how about this one? Pull out that card again. And who is there this week that you could forgive, who you could offer forgiveness to? It might be somebody who has hurt you, somebody that you have been hurt by, and you need to go to them and say, I've not talked to you for a long time. Let's get this going again. Let's connect again. Or it might be somebody you know that's just under a burden of guilt in their lives. They're just hurting. And you need to let them know that God has forgiven them, just like He's forgiven all of us. Write their name down and then make plans this week to let them know about God's forgiveness.
If you're going to become a world-class lover, you have to accept people the way God accepts you. You have to value people the way God values you. You have to forgive others the way God forgives you. And then fourth one, this is important. I must believe in others like Jesus believes in me. I must believe in others like Jesus believes in me. Did you know all around you are people with low self-esteem? Everybody has insecurities. Everybody. If you don't think you got insecurities, you're in denial or you're lying. Because you have insecurities. In fact, I've discovered that even the more successful people become, the more insecure they often become. And studies have shown that the younger you were when you first experienced rejection, the more serious it is in your life. So it's almost like a curse when people say, you're not going to amount to anything. You won't matter. You're not. How do you reverse a curse? You start believing what Jesus says about you instead of believing what other people say about you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him. Love believes. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground defending him. Love believes. When everybody else says believes the worst, love believes the best. Says, I'm going to go ahead and move ahead. And this is what God wants you to do. It's exactly what Jesus did. He affirmed people around him. Jesus looked at people and he didn't see what they were. He saw what they could become. He saw their potential. He saw their growth. He saw what God intended for them to be. And he brought out the best in people, not by labeling them, but saying, I believe you can do it. I know you can do it. In fact, someday do a study of Jesus and how many times he says, you can do it. I believe in you. I know you can do this. Nothing will be impossible. If you trust me, you get my spirit inside of you, you depend on my power, you can do it. I believe in you. In fact, he said this, look at this screen. He says, as you, Heavenly Father, sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now think about this. Jesus trusted the future of the entire world to 12 fishermen, and one of them flamed out. So it was only 11. And these are just normal guys, no high school, no college education. And he spends 3 years with them and he says, okay, guys, I believe in you. You can do this. Now you take this good news message to everybody else and you share it around the whole world, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the whole world, the Great Commission. And I'm trusting you guys. I believe in you. I know you can do this. And Jesus goes back to heaven and the angels say, okay, Jesus, you died for all of humanity. And how are you going to spread the good news? Well, I gave it to these 11 guys. And the angels are going, and what's your plan B? And Jesus says, there is no plan B. I believe in these guys. I know they can do it. I'm going to trust them. And that is what God says about you. In fact, let me just show you a series of verses. Look up here on the screen. Some are on your outline, some are up here. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus is saying to him, you can do it. With faith, you can do it. I believe in you, you can do it. In fact, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. I believe in you. You can do it. With me in your heart and your spirit, God's power in you, you can do it. Look at this verse. Jesus told them, I assure you, if you have faith and you don't doubt, you can do things like this. He's talking about the miracles he had done. And much, much more. You can do it. In fact, this is one of the most amazing verses. Look at this next one. Jesus says, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works because I'm going to be with my Father. He's going, wait a minute. The things that I've done, you'll be able to do too? How is that possible? Well, here's how it's possible. When Jesus Christ was here physically in a body, he could only be in one place at one time. Now, Jesus can put his spirit in me and you and millions of other people, and he can be doing miracles in many places all at once. And he can answer prayer in many places all at once. And he says, you can do it.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, but first, if you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. One of the main reasons Pastor Rick started Daily Hope was to reach as many people as possible with the hope of Jesus Christ. And because of your prayers and donations, we're now reaching over 14 million people a month. But there are still many, many more people that need to hear the good news. Would you prayerfully consider giving a gift to Daily Hope today to help reach even more people for Jesus Christ? And when you do, we'll send you Pastor Rick's 40 Days of Love study kit to say thanks for your support of this ministry. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Jesus says that the two most important things you can do while you're here on earth are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, life is all about love.
Now, as believers, it's not just enough to talk about love or to read about love or to discuss love. We must show it. We must exhibit it by the way we treat other people. Now, the Bible says that we do this. We learn to be genuinely loving people by relying on the love that God has for us. That's why I've put together a 6-session study kit called 40 Days of Love. It includes a study guide and a 6-session DVD that will teach you the habits of a loving heart. Now, you can go through it by yourself, but really, how are you going to learn to love by yourself? You need to do it in a small group with 2 or 3 friends or even more. Just get some friends and some neighbors and say, let's learn how to really love and let's study this together for 40 days. Now, 40 Days of Love is going to teach you why love matters most more than anything else. And it's going to teach you what the Bible means when it says that love is patient and love is kind and love speaks the truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love is forgiving. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a life-changing study. It changed my life when I did it. And it's going to change your life and those that you share it with. And if you really want to grow spiritually, you've got to learn how to love. Now, this month, we're offering the 40 Days of Love Study Kit for a financial gift to Daily Hope Ministries. I want everybody to be able to enjoy this study, so all I ask is that you help support Daily Hope Ministries. Now, I know some of you can afford a little bit more than others, and I appreciate that. It helps us keep on the air and helps us spread the message to other stations. But some of you, you're going through tough times and you don't have a whole lot. That's okay. I know you work hard for what you earn. I promise that whatever you give, no matter how large or small, that every cent that you send in to support Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. I do this ministry for free. I take no money from it. And so you can be certain that any gift you give is helping spread the hope we have in Christ here at home and even all around the world.
Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with 2 R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.